Here in this wretched little town, people simply called him Yakov. His nickname in the street was, for some reason, Bronze, and he lived in a poor way, like a humble peasant, in a little old hut in which there was only one room, and in this room, he and Marfa, the stove, a double bed, the coffins, his bench, and all their belongings were crowded together. Yakov made good, solid coffins. For peasants and working people, he made them to fit himself, and this was never unsuccessful, for there were none taller and stronger than he, even in the prison, though he was 70. For gentry and for women, he made them to measure, and used an iron foot rule for the purpose. He was very unwilling to take orders for children's coffins, and made them straight off without measurements, contemptuously, and when he was paid for the work, he always said,
"I must confess I don't like trumpery jobs."
Apart from his trade, playing the fiddle brought him in a small income. The Jews' orchestra, conducted by Moisey Ilyich Shaks, the tinsmith, who took more than half their receipts for himself, played as a rule at weddings in the town. As Yakov played very well on the fiddle, especially Russian songs, Shaks sometimes invited him to join the orchestra at a fee of half a ruble a day, in addition to tips from the visitors. When Bronze sat in the orchestra first of all, his face became crimson and perspiring. It was hot. There was a suffocating smell of garlic. The fiddle squeaked. The double bass wheezed close to his right ear, while the flute wailed at his left, played by a gaunt, red-haired Jew, who had a perfect network of red and blue veins all over his face, and who bore the name of the famous millionaire Rothschild. And this accursed Jew contrived to play even the liveliest things plaintively. For no apparent reason, Yakov, little by little, became possessed by hatred and contempt for the Jews, and especially for Rothschild. He began to pick quarrels with him, rail at him in unseemly language, and once even tried to strike him, and Rothschild was offended, and said, looking at him ferociously,
"If it were not that I respect you for your talent, I would have sent you flying out of the window."
Then he began to weep. And because of this, Yakov was not often asked to play in the orchestra. He was only sent for in case of extreme necessity in the absence of one of the Jews. Yakov was never in a good temper, as he was continually having to put up with terrible losses. For instance, it was a sin to work on Sundays or Saints' Days, and Monday was an unlucky day, so that in the course of the year there were some 200 days on which, whether he liked it or not, he had to sit with his hands folded. And only think what a loss that meant. If anyone in the town had a wedding without music, or if Shaks did not send for Yakov, that was a loss too. The superintendent of the prison was ill for 2 years and was wasting away, and Yakov was impatiently waiting for him to die. But the superintendent went away to the chief town of the province to be doctored, and there took and died. There's a loss for you. 10 rubles at least, as there would have been an expensive coffin to make, lined with brocade. The thought of his losses haunted Yakov, especially at night. He laid his fiddle on the bed beside him, and when all sorts of nonsensical ideas came into his mind, he touched a string. The fiddle gave out a sound in the darkness, and he felt better. On the 6th of May of the previous year, Marfa had suddenly been taken ill. The old woman's breathing was labored. She drank a great deal of water, and she staggered as she walked. Yet she lighted the stove in the morning, and even went herself to get water. Towards evening she lay down. Yakov played his fiddle all day, and when it was quite dark, he took the book in which he used every day to put down his losses, and, feeling dull, he began adding up the total for the year. It came to more than 1,000 rubles. This so agitated him that he flung the reckoning beads down and trampled them under his feet. Then he picked up the reckoning beads and again spent a long time clicking with them and heaving deep, strained sighs. His face was crimson and wet with perspiration. He thought that if he had put that lost 1,000 rubles in the bank, the interest for a year would have been at least 40 rubles. So that 40 rubles was a loss too. In fact, wherever one turned, there were losses and nothing else.
Yakov,
Marfa called unexpectedly.